Okay, so yes, so last time we had Shear, we dealt with sort of the broader issues, just to remind ourselves where we are. So the fifth halach on the eighth perek focuses on the status of water. But what we noted in the second half of the halach, and as we did in the last year, is that for the Yerushalmi especially, the status of water in Shemitah is not a localized issue. It's a much broader, it's a universal issue, and that's why it quickly expands from water for human beings, water to animals, for consumption, to water for bathing, to
laundry,
to laundry being pikuach nefesh, to, right, it very quickly gets there because what the Yerushalmi is highlighting is the fact that the status of water in Shemitah is not really a local issue, right? It's an expression of a broader perspective that we have about the role of water, the benefit of water, how it's defined halachically. So we have to go back and sort of flesh out the details. We did the broader picture and the Pikuach Nefesh issue. So now, again, there are many Perushim on this Yerushalmi, but let's try to just take two, okay? Two, maybe three. Okay? So, we go to the Mishnah again. So, Ein Notnim. You don't give money of Shemitah or Shemitah produce. Lo Levayar. Right? Not to a water digger, now that you know what a bore looks like. Right? Anyone who came in the teal. Right? Water pit. And don't lose your phone. Do not drop your phone in it. Even though they will get it for you. I know, it was an olive press. I got it. It was very impressive. It was like took an hour, and they managed to get it out. Okay.
I thought that was the end.
So did I. I really did. Velo lebalan, right? Not to the person who heats up the bathhouse. Velo lesapar, right? Not a barber. Velo lesapan, or a boater?
Ferryman.
There you go. That's a better word. Ferryman. A boater. Yeah, that's not the word. Aval notenu livayar, but you can give it to a water digger, lishtot, ulikulam, and for all these who notain, but not notchinam, and this we already talked about, the mutual gift giving, right? You want to solve everything, give the mutual gift giving, which we talked about.
Specifically to Ronvar to drink.
Right, yes, so that you can do, right? Okay. So that's exactly what we want to figure out, right? That's exactly what we want to do. So again, if you follow here, here the article does a very nice job at highlighting the main contours of this sugya. Now, so let's just make a few points. Okay, the first point is that this sugya works very well. Let's say with the Ramban and the Ritva. Remember the Ramban and the Ritva? Chazanish makes this point, right? Which is that the Isur Schora de Oraita is only violated. No, that's the Rambam. Ramban is when you buy things, not food, right? Like Avadim or right? And therefore, what? Well, when we did Schora. A while ago. The beginning of the Sugya, right? The Ramban, the Ritvaz, right, Shita in Schora, that the Isur D'oraita is only violated when you use it to pay for Avadim or something. You pay for labor, something that cannot transfer the Kedusha.
Yeah.
So here, obviously, to transfer it for... Right, because it's really just a subset of Achila. Right, exactly. And therefore, according to him, the Isur D'oraita is not violated when you buy money, because money can be a placeholder to buy more food, right? Very good. And therefore, right, this mission is a very classic case. If I pay someone to draw water for me, well, right, fine. But if I pay someone to dig water for some other purposes, right, water for drinking, rather, it's fine. Okay. Now, of course, right, part of this mission may not be dealing just with Schara, it may be Priyat Chov, right? For you to drink, for another human being to drink.
Are you?
Oh, no. No, you pay for him to get you water, right? A water pit.
Are you allowed to invest with the dish
history? No, presumably not.
In these cases, these aren't talking about directly dealing with water. Someone who happens to use like water in an indirect way for their business.
Well, so no, I'm paying, right? Like I'm. Okay, so this is really the question, right? Which is, what am I doing? Right now, and this is the right, we've seen this already in the previous halacha, which is, well, how do you conceptualize hiring the water drawer to get you water? Are you paying for labor? Or are you paying for
water?
Water, obviously, which is better in this case, water, paying for water, right? Paying for water. Because then if you're paying for water, you are paying for food and you're allowed to do that. Right? Right. That seems to be the presumption of the, okay.
So anything that we assume was, I'm still on the, like, the placeholder for Kedusha thing. So, like, say you buy bonds for your government, do you not need to worry about the fact that your government not might go under, or since your government...
No. So, again, for the Ramban, that would be just a Darabanan, right? Right? You have the Darabanan of Mosin Me Perish Vied Lam Aretz. Right? That's the Darabanan. Remember? Okay. Right, according to him, the D'oraita is not violated if what you buy can be used as a placeholder to buy more food. But if you buy it, if you transfer the money to someone who you're not sure will actually do that, then you violate the D'rabbanan. Right? That was exactly the distinction for the Ramban and the Ritva, between the D'oraita and the D'rabbanan. D'oraita is where I directly nullify the Kedusha by trying to buy a slave. Right? Which you probably shouldn't do anyways. You know? Right? But, or whatever. And the Darabanan is violated when I transferred something which does hold value, but it may not be used for the proper purposes, right? Because then the intrinsic act of buying it was not what violated, but it does violate because, right? No, that was exactly the Ramban took it. Okay, and that's, now, what is the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa? So again.
Ezra, can you use headphones? Yeah.
Okay. So what is the difference here between the Reish and the Seif? So again, I'm really going to try to follow here the Perushim that the Arch Scroll does, because there are a lot, and I want you to just get a basic idea of how to read it inside. So they note, right, I have it here on the Shinu Yer, so that the majority of Mefarshim, following the Rosh, think that the distinction between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half, the cases where it's mut or not, is whether the water is being used for drinking or not. Right? If you looked at the Marafolda, for example, Bayar, what's the difference between Bayar in case one and Bayar case two? So he says, Bayar, chofer barod, masbik maim levnei ha'ir. Case one is where he digs water and gives water to people in the city. Lo yitin, lo midnei shvi, last speak, lo maim lechol tashmisho. Don't pay him for water, for general needs, right? Etc. And then he says, "Aval noten levayar." The second case of bayar, lazmin momayim lishtout, to give him water to drink. Ulekulan lechalami yachalitin leman adchinam, and he said, "But all of them, you could do the mutual gift, right?" And that's
this is a good support for the Ramban, man.
That's the Chazon Ish's point, right? Yeah, and if you look at the Rosh Terilio says as well, right? Very clearly, third line. Sarach lomar buyer dereisha, the buyer in the first case, the chofer bor lamayim hainusha mayim hain l'tashmishav. It's water for his other needs. Kagon l'rachitza gufo, l'raglav, to wash your hands, your feet, inami l'behema, for animals, l'shrot behem pishtan, or to soak your flax, l'vosh, to wear, v'chein l'tzviya, for coloring, l'vizah v'gadim nami. Now, what's the, right, and then if you skip l'bayer l'shtot at the top of the second column, chol for mayim d'chazu l'shtot lo, but you can pay the person digging for water, that is,
as long as you're drinking.
They're drinking, right? Now, there's a problem. What's the problem, right? The problem that Yerushalmi raises, right, what's the problem that Yerushalmi raises before we go to the Rambam's pshat? Right, what's the problem with that Yerushalmi raises? Is that Yerushalmi raises the possibility that things which are not drinking are also considered, right, equivalent to achila, essentially, right? That was the problem that Yerushalmi raises. That's we got into the laundry case, right? And that's, right, so for the Rosh, for the Marafuldim, for the Rosh Relio, this is how they understand the Yerushalmi. is that the Mishnah seems to make a very clear distinction and says, paying for water which is not for drinking is usur. Paying for water which is for drinking is mutter. Right? And then the Yerushalmi comes in and says, well, is that distinction, is that fine distinction really correct? Right? That's how they understand it. And you see, if you continue the Rashi Rilio, right, the Rashi Rilio pick, right, already starts reading the Yerushalmi in. And he says, V'afagavda amar Rabbi Yossi b'gimara, that even the Rabbi Yossi, that no, it's either Rabbi Yossi, that our mission is only Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi suffered b'gimara, the chvisa b'gadim chiyuto chashiva. Right, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that laundry is considered like your life. So he has a very simple read of this, and he says, listen, there's a hierarchy. Drinking, laundry, shower. Got it? Ezra, it's really, it's too late.
No, could you use headphones?
So,
you could go, into the
so go to the back room. So kick him out.
Go to the lunchroom. Or go to the lunchroom.
Joe's there. So or go outside. Or go outside. It's a nice day.
Be gone with your sound.
Go right outside. Whatever it is. Anyways, right? So he says there's a hierarchy, right? Drinking, laundry, bathing.
So laundry is more important than
correct. That's the whole point of the...
Isn't bathing what gets your clothes?
No. No. This is why I said you had to listen to that sheer.
I'm just saying, like, if you didn't bathe, you would still be, like, more likely to get your clothes.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, but that's not what they say.
But back in the day, I guess.
Exactly. The Ikaman, the Sharjah, not me, Sharjah, the Biosi, the Iberica goes, oh, come on. And he says, and there are people who believe that what? That Shemitah produce can be used for things which are not Achila. Where did we see this Sugya? What Sugya is he referencing?
The Shemitah produce that's not used for Achila.
Yeah, what sugya does he mention? Bava Kama Kuf Bet, which is parallel sugya. Remember what sugya? Eitzim. Remember the whole Eitzim sugya, where what does the Bavli raise the possibility? The Bavli has Shito to hold that what is the only standard that you need? Achila is expanded through the mechanism known as Shavit L'chol Nefesh, right? Now, and we mentioned at the time that one of the major complexities in defining the parameters of Achila in the Yerushalmi is...
Wait, didn't it say then that you
is that what? What was the major problem? Is that the Yerushalmi never quotes Shavu L'chol Nefesh, and therefore, we don't know whether the Yerushalmi believes in that expansion.
Wait, Shavu L'chol Nefesh is still limited by the limitation that you have to have it drawn here.
Well, fine, but the fact is that you're allowed to use it, and that's considered proper consumption, right? That... Right, and therefore it has Kedusha and all the things we saw there. We noted that Yerushalmi doesn't ever raise that explicitly, and therefore no one's quite clear whether the Bavli and the Yerushalmi agree on this point. Right, so therefore the Rashi really says, "Mikamakom yesh chiluk bein chofer bor ledole mayim atzman." Okeach mayim atzman says even within that context. I mean, even if you expand it, what's the problem? That there's a difference between the well digger and the water drawer, and the water buyer. Demayim atman l'tashmishan hu deshari Rabbi Yossi inami l'kvisa dafka. Right, so, sorry, before inami. So what's his first possibility? And we saw this, that water for drinking is the highest, and therefore?
Therefore that one you're allowed
and that one you're even allowed to, not just purchase, but what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to pay someone to draw it. But... water for the secondary things, which are mutter on Shavu L'chol Nefesh, what does he say? Possibility one.
That.
Remember we saw this by Michael Behema? That it could be that things are mutter, but they're mutter at a lower level. Right? Remember, when did we see this? The beginning of the 8th parak with the Gemara's discussion about Michael Behema for dying, right? Michael Behema for medicine, right? Which is, right, how do these secondary levels line up? So the Rosh Terilio says our sugya is exactly like that, which is it even according to the Shito that say that you have expanded achilas that are also mutter, like anything which is of al-chol nefesh, they're still secondary. And therefore, he says, indirect payment for actual eating is mutter. Right? Because the Hana'a is Hana'a level one. And therefore, even though I'm paying someone to dig the hole, which is a step removed from Hana'a, since the Hana'a I'm getting is the highest level Hana'a, that's enough to count as Hana'a. And according to him, if I pay somebody to give me water directly to use for non-eating permitted consumptions, that's also mutter. What's not mutter?
Paying someone
to dig a well, which is a step removed from the hana'a, for level 2 hana'ot.
Is there any logic to that, or it's like different levels?
Well, so I don't know, right? We talked about this a little bit with the Michael Bahema, is how do you view these things? Is it that you view it that we've expanded achila? Because if you said we expanded achila, then it doesn't have a logic, right? Because you'd say, listen, this is achila. But if you say, no, there's achila, and then there's, right?
Wasn't it about, like, what it's really for, like Michael Bahema's like Roy for dying and
right. So part of it was Roy, but part of it was how exactly do you view these expansions? And that's the game the Rashi really is playing. Now again, does he have a formal conceptual distinction? Is he thinking more or just like, listen? The point is, you can't be too many steps removed from primary hana, right? So you can either be removed by how you're paying for it or by what you're using it for, right? There's a logic to it. You're right. It sounds a little bit like, okay, right? It's, you can have one indirect, but not two, right? It's like, right? We know that sometimes that's how life works, right? Sometimes that works. In a chanami, but it could be very balabatish, right? I want to give you a present, right? Who am I giving a present to today? Mordechai wants a present. Okay. So I want Mordechai to appreciate the present, right? So, you could do that in two ways, right? I could do something which is not so fancy, right? Right? It's from the heart, right? Whatever. And what makes it meaningful is I give it to him because it's clear it's a sign of friendship. I don't know. I take you out, just you. We go out for coffee, okay? I'm not spending a fortune of money, but it's time for us to talk. It's whatever, right? If I would say, oh, I want to give you a present. Here is a gift certificate for you to go and have a coffee. It's like, I mean, thank you very much, right? Okay. Right? But if I said, oh, I know you've always wanted to go and visit. You're going to Dubai, so pick someone who's not Dubai.
Northern Lights.
Wait, you wanted to always see the Northern Lights. So I said, listen, Mordechai, I can't afford to pay for two of us to go to the Northern Lights as much as I'd love to spend time with you, right? Here's a ticket, right? And I paid for your hotel to go see the Northern Lights wherever, right? Because the present is big, right? It's like, oh, I appreciate it, right? Right? Those are two different ways, right? I could have a not super expensive one, but where I actually do it myself. Right? It's direct, right? And therefore, it's appreciated because I'm choosing to spend time with you, right? And I'm putting out, right, the money to have the coffee, not just meeting in yeshiva. I went, right? It shows a little bit of effort, right? Or it's like, okay, this is going to be indirect. I'm not going to be there with you, but, you know.
But let's say you gave him a gift certificate to coffee and you just said, oh, I'm not coming, but you can have this.
Right, that's like,
so the worst friend would give you the gift certificate and then go to Greenland himself.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, right? That's it. Right, so sometimes it does happen that, right, when you do something indirect at multiple layers, right, it loses its meaning, right? Right?
I know you always wanted to go to Greenland, so I went to Greenland.
That's exactly.
And I took pictures.
I took pictures, exactly, right? I took pictures for you, right? It's like, I knew you'd been talking about it for so long, and I was inspired to go myself and send you a postcard, right?
Wish you were here.
Right?
Nothing.
My Rebbe went to Greenland, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt, right? You know, like, right? So, right? Yeah, exactly, right? It could just be that, right? Or you could formalize it and say no, right? Right? It could be that you would say, listen, you need a certain amount of immediacy. Right? The immediacy has to come either from benefit or, right, from, right? And, right, you, that immediacy is what makes it hana, right? And we've expanded it, but we can't expand it too much because at some point, right, it loses immediacy either because of what I'm using it for or how I'm getting to it, right? We could talk about things like that. Now, of course, that's because the Rosh Tirilio assumes that the Bavli can be read with the Yerushalmi. Right? And therefore, he assumes that the standards of Shavuot Chol Nefesh that are introduced by the Bavli are relevant in the Yerushalmi, which, as we know, Nishpashut, right? Not obvious. Then he says, Inami, alternatively, Likvisa Dafka, Vachofer Ashigelamayim, Lav Mayim Be'en. A few Likvisa Nami Loshari. But then he comes up with another possible distinction, which is totally about immediacy. And that is?
That if, as long as it's not for drinking, then.
No, so that's his first one. His second one is, no, I am allowed to buy water for, I am allowed to pay someone to dig for water for Kvisa. But how do I have to do it? If I say, this is a water pit, right? Go and I'm paying for you to do my laundry in the water pit or dig it a little bit, that's fine, right? Because there's water present. And therefore, what am I essentially doing? Buying water for a permitted purpose. Because if you establish the kvisa as mutter, then I'm buying it, right? What I'm not allowed to do for him is to hire... I already gave you a present. Who am I hiring now? Shlomo. Shlomo, I'm hiring you to dig until you happen to get to water.
Enjoy.
And he says that doesn't work. For him, what's the difference?
The goal wasn't water?
No, because the water isn't present. Right? According to him, the key to this Gemara is you. What's mutter is to buy water. What's not mutter is to buy labor.
So to dig.
Right? And so if I say dig a pre-existing water pit or something like that,
should
right?
There
make
be
it deeper.
More?
Then there's water present, right? But if I say, I think there's probably a spring, right? And if you dig, you'll get to it. That water, because it hasn't been excavated yet, is considered non-extant yet halachically.
What if it's
right?
Proven that this water
doesn't matter, right? Because in halacha, this is always true. It's called, right? He doesn't say this, but this is in many areas of halacha. There's a category called mechusar maisa. That if to access something, you need, right? If to access something.
Redig it, it's okay.
So again, he doesn't make it very clear, but he says that what, and for him, the difference seems to be labor versus buying water. If I'm buying water, because the water's extant, that's fine. If I say dig until you find water, I'm paying for labor.
It's an observation.
Right? It's not observation, right? Mechusar ma'asa, right? Is if something, if I can only access something through an action, that means halachically it's not yet accessed. Yes. So defining mechusar ma'asa is complicated. In different areas of halacha, it means different things, right? Again, there's a lot.
No.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It doesn't need.
Make a mishmar.
Thank you for volunteering, Josh. I will put you down for 2 weeks from now. The status of Mechusar Maisa in all of Shas. Thank you. Okay, good. That sounds great to me. Sounds great. Then he adds another possibility. And he says, maybe it's very technical. What's it technical? Right? So I at first thought he was saying Mechusar Maisa, but then he says, no. You know what the real problem is? Dilma Mamlech Velo Yashem Mamalacha. No, there's a very simple problem. Is if there's water, then there's water. And if it's not yet water, you might give up. And then I will have only paid for labor. Right? It's a very technical problem, which is I need to buy water. Because otherwise, this is schara. If I'm paying for labor, it's schara. What's the problem? Is to continue digging a pit that already has water, I'm buying the water. Right? But if I tell you dig until you get to water, right? And that means you might give up. If you give up before you get to the water, then the only plausible construal of what I told you now in retrospect is that I paid for labor, right? And that I can't do.
If it was like a foot right? under the ground, then you would be allowed to hire someone.
So, of course, you have to get it right. So once you say, well, it's like a zero that you might not do the work, then you got to figure out, okay, so what does that mean, right? If it's like a centimeter, right? Like it was there yesterday and, right? And then there was a sandstorm, right? And now I just got to sort of like, I could use a, you know, shovel. I could use a broom. Right, just get at the top level, right? That's how like Israelis shovel their snow. I always love it. It's like they don't have real shovels. So like you see them, it's like no one's ever thought that they should keep
a shovel.
Yes, you see people with squeegees and with dustpans and with brooms. It's like it's a disaster. Now, sometimes that works. Admittedly, that works if you have like an inch of snow or the snow melts in 6 hours, like right? But like I remember that one time that in the years I've lived in Israel where there was a real, real snowstorm that didn't melt that day. It was when I lived in Lone Shfoot, and we had 3.5 feet. It was insane. It was crazy with 7-foot drifts. It was like a freak storm in December.
Israel,
it was insane. It was like the worst storm in decades, right? And like, you know, I didn't have electricity for 5 days. It was crazy. It's crazy.
Israel was not prepared at all.
No, not at all. But literally, I went outside the next day, and like all the Israelis were squeegeeing. You cannot, you can squeegee an inch. You cannot squeegee 3.5 feet of snow. It doesn't work. It's just impossible. It was ridiculous. Like, there's like, no, this doesn't work. It was crazy. Like, my parents were visiting for Shabbos, and they were staying in the guest apartments in Gush, which is like, you know, Gush has a little bit of hills, so it was at the bottom of a hill. And we had to, I had to take several yeshiva guys. They got snowed in, and a tree had fallen down on that building, and we had to take a bunch of guys and physically pull them out of a 7-foot drift. Like, like, we had to, like, flatten the snow with, like, our bodies and, like, pull my parents out. I mean, it was crazy. It was insane. How you doing? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It was great, right? So yeah, if you can squeegee it out, then fine, right? You can't squeegee it, then, okay. Right? And then he says, so what's the difference between digging for water and to drink and for other things? So I'm going to, unfortunately, he doesn't come up with a beautiful lumdish distinction, which I would have wanted, right? But he says, listen, I mean, I'll tell you his logic, and then I'll tell you his very not exciting conclusion. Right? His logic in this framework is what? If you accept the Bavli's framework for the Yerushalmi, then you think that achila includes things which are not actually achila. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, what's the difference between paying for laundry and paying for drinking if, according to Rabbi Yossi, they're both considered achila because of the mechanism of Shavuot Chol Nefesh, right? So his first possibility was it's achila but sug bet, right, level two, and therefore you need some sort of immediacy either, right, because you're paying directly for that water or because you're paying for drinking, so then you can pay for not immediate, right? You can pay for labor, right? Do you want to know what he says here? Did you read it?
No.
Okay. So he says, but the other possibility, lumdishly, is no. Drinking water and other drinking is equivalent halachically according to Rabbi Yossi. So why am I allowed to pay someone to dig for a well to drink and not for a well to do laundry? He says, because people really like drinking water, so they won't change their mind and give up. If it's drinking water, they might give up digging for laundry. Right? But, well, okay. I know it's like a very like, okay, whatever. Right? But what's his point? His point is, but what is the Rashi really telling you? Is that there's two ways of conceptualizing this. Right? I mean, once you read the Rashi really, you realize there's two very important ways he's viewing the sugya. Right? One possibility is that, according to the Shita, who holds that Mayim for laundry is Shavuot Chol Nefesh and therefore Mutter, it's still not equivalent to Achila, and therefore there are fundamental distinctions of what you can pay for drinking water and what you can pay for other Mutter things. Mm-hmm. Water is level one, and therefore you can even pay for not direct, right? Indirectly for it, right? And things that are mutter through the mechanism of Shavuot Chol Nefesh are level two hana'ot, and therefore they're mutter, but you need the immediacy now in terms of how you acquire them, right? His second possibility is, no, once you expand the hana'ot through the mechanism of Shavuot Chol Nefesh, they become equivalent to achila. Then how do you justify the distinction of whether you can pay for them or not? Technicalities, right? So you understand, right? What he's saying is, possibility one, he's saying the hana'ot are fundamentally different, and therefore what you're allowed to do and the way you're allowed to pay is fundamentally different. Possibility two is, no, Shavuot Chol Nefesh raises non-food things to the level of food. So how could there be a difference between that and non-food? Right? Food and non-food? Answer, fundamentally there isn't. And the only difference is psychologically, right? You're only supposed to pay for, right? You have to pay for water and not labor. And just when you're paying for water, we assume that the person will actually finish the job and you'll end up paying for water. And by non-drinking water, they might give up, in which case retroactively you would have paid for labor, right? But that's the major chakira that he's dealing with, which is, are the expansions of Shavuot Chol Nefesh, do they make the water for non-eating purposes the equivalent of achila, in which case the difference between drinking water and laundry water is just a mere technicality? Or is it a fundamental distinction, in which case there are actual differences in terms of what you're allowed to do to acquire them, right? Okay, so that's all within this first model, right? Now, as you can see, the Rosh Aurelio develops this a lot more than the Rosh, But the fundamental approach of the Rash and the Marafulda and the Rash Terilio is that the difference between case one and case two in the Mishnah is paying for labor versus paying for food, right? And again, he has two possibilities. Either you're allowed to pay for labor when it comes to food. You're not allowed to pay for labor when it comes to other permitted hanaot. Or you're only ever allowed to pay for food and never for labor. The only distinction is that when you're buying food, drinking water, we assume the person will finish the job and therefore retroactively you will have paid for water. When it comes to laundry, the person might give up. And if he gives up, retroactively you will have paid for labor and not for food. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That is...
whole indirect and direct thing, right?
What?
Where does he get like the indirect and direct? Like, that make a difference?
I mean, that's how he's suggesting you read the sugya. Again, he doesn't explain. Is it just a quantitative thing? Like,
if you, I mean, I'd be more inclined to believe his second shot because all the Mishnah says is.
I know you like the second one, right? But you understand what's the fundamental hakira he's grappling with? Right. So what you want to say is, well, if you accept the expansion of achila, then it becomes like achila, and then the only difference can be technical, right? Right, you like his second one. Right, his first one is saying no. Just because something is mutter doesn't mean it's mutter for the same reason achila is. Right, I don't think you liked it when we did it earlier in the parak either. You never like these types of saras,
same.
Which is fine. Meaning you understand. He's
you're such a kabbalist.
No, because it's so hard to determine.
Oh please, Josh. Usually it's you who doesn't like this. Oh, it's quantitative. What do you mean? Right, tell me exactly. Draw the line. Right. Yes. See, right? You're like you. Come on. Okay. So that's the Rash Terilio. This is all functioning within the view of the Rash. Okay? The Rambam, however, we've actually introduced the Rambam already, right? So the Rash, okay. The Rash says fundamentally the distinction is between paying for food and paying for non-food. Right? The Rambam says the difference is, are you paying for labor or are you paying for water? Right? For him, that's the only difference, is how do you frame it? Right? Is are you paying for water or are you paying for labor? Right? Now, that's really, right? The truth is the Rash Terilio has both.
Yeah.
Right? The Rash Terilio has one parish which aligns with the Rash, that the real distinction is drinking versus non-drinking. And the second one is, it's really about labor versus water, and what the only difference is, right, that sometimes psychologically, right, one turns in, because of you might give up, one turns into labor, one's not, right? So that's the way, right, and yeah, and they note here in the footnote that the Rash Terilio, synthesizes the two, right? That's what they know, right? So what you basically have is, right, the Rambam who says you can always pay for water, you can't pay for labor. You have the Rash who says you can pay for drinking, you can't pay for other things. And the Rash Terilio synthesizes them, right? Mm-hmm. Either by saying you can pay for labor for water, right? But not for labor labor for water for drinking, but not labor for other things, right? Or, and the second thing is, no, it really is just a labor, not labor distinction, but there are psychological reasons to assume that someone will finish the job when it comes to drinking water, and he won't finish the job when it comes to non-drinking water. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right, so that's your 2.5 perushim on the distinction between case one and case two. Okay? Now if we go to the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi started, Tani, Ein notnin, Lola balan, lola sapar, lola sapan. Rabbi Yosi Omer, af lola mevayer. So then the Gemara had come in and said, mechalfa shitate de Rabbi Yosi. Isn't Rabbi Yosi switched? Taman, there he says, Omer lochin emenu, or in lochin emenu, right? Two different gersot, right? Maimu melach, right? And so now the Gemara had said, wait a second. What's the problem here? Is that the implication is that here Rabbi Yosi allows you to pay for drinking water, right? What's the assumption that drove our entire analysis for the first half hour of Shir? Is that drinking water is considered food.
Yeah.
And therefore, it has a higher status. The Yerushalmi introduces the possibility that, according to Rabbi Yossi, drinking water isn't food.
Salt.
Right? That not all food is food, and salt and water, which basically have no taste and whatever, are categorically right? Not food. Right? V'hachal amar achen. So the Gemara answers, amar Rabbi Yosi ma pligen. Watch the argument. Right? Be either tashmisho or bishel tashmisho. Aval bishtio of Rabbi Yosi modeh. So possibility one is that no, he really does think that water is mutter, and that he reads that Tosefta as being about water, not for drinking. Right?
This is my mumela.
Yeah, and you use salt for other things also, for tanning. Oh, okay. Right? Right, so possibly one of the Yerushalmi is, yeah, just assume that, and now, right, this read follows very well from who? The Rosh. Mm-hmm. Right? This is where the Rosh gets it from, is that the Yerushalmi is saying, aha! Oh, wait, doesn't Rabbi Yossi hold that water isn't even food? The answer is no. Everyone agrees that water is food. And when it's food, then it's mutter, right? It's just that sometimes water is not food and salt is not food, and that's the distinction. That bright is exactly like our distinction in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. So then the Gemara says, wait, have man tana al notin ulu bayar lishtod. So then who holds that you're allowed to buy water for drinking? Rabbi Yossi, right? That is, right? Right, Rabbi Yossi, and what will that mean about the Chachamim? That the Chachamim allow paying for water, which is
also for
even for other tashmishim. Yeah. Right, that's the implication. If only Rabbi Yossi is makil for right, if only Rabbi Yossi insists on drinking water, that means everyone else doesn't insist on drinking water. So then the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yossi Divrei Hakoli. No, everyone agrees. Right, Kan La Adam VeKan La Behema. Right, and the question is, people are or animals, right? Where Rabbi Yossi demands human consumption, the Chachamim allow they require consumption, but even animal consumption, right? Okay. So now, what I want to do, and again, I don't want to go beyond today with this. Okay. I think you guys will go crazy if we spend too much time in it. So what I want to do, I'm gonna read you now. Okay, what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to follow the article here and give you two ways of reading this Gemara, because now we've done all the conceptual work, so let me give you two ways of reading the Gemara, and then we'll be done, okay? So that's what I'm going to tell you right now, okay? So I'm going to give you two ways of understanding this sugya, okay? You know what? Let me see if yours has it, because otherwise I'll do it for mine. Yeah, you got the same thing, okay? Okay, so basically the art scroll gives you two perushim. One is following the Gra, the other is the Mara Folda. Okay, so as you'll see, this is footnote 15, and it's textual variant A, right, on 65B, right? So I'm going to summarize it as they do. So here's what you have according to the Gra, okay? Here's the summary. Sikum Shito, there are two brayta. Okay? The first braita teaches you three positions. The Chachamim in the first braita allow you to pay with Shemitah water for water which is, use Shemitah money to pay for water, not for drinking. Yes? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yossi in the braita forbids paying for water that are not for drinking, but allows you to pay for drinking water. And then the Tanna Kamma in the braisa say that it's usher to buy, to use Shemitah produce, money, even to buy water for drinking, right? Yeah. So you end up with three shita. A shita that says that water, even for drinking, doesn't count as food, right? A shita which says all food counts, and a shita which says all needs count, right? That's the gra, okay? According to that, the Mishnah doesn't work with the Chachamim of the Braita, right? Because the Mishnah requires, right? Because again, according to the Rosh, the Mishnah distinguishes between food purposes and non-food purposes, which means that the Shita that says even non-food purposes can be, right, are considered like food is not our Mishnah. Yeah?
Yeah. Do we know that the Rabbi Yossi in the Braita is the same as the Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah?
No, it's two different. It's potentially two different shitot, right? But in the end, the Gemara seems to assume it's the same, right? So then the Gemara says no, right? Maybe you have to distinguish between Machal Adam and Machal Behema. And then this is the sikum that you get, okay? This is the maskana of the Gemara. This was the Havamina. Now what's the maskana? I'll just read you their summary. That you have three shitot. According to the Chachamim in the first Braita, you're allowed to use Shemitah money for animal food. Reb Yossi has the highest standard that you can only use it for human food. And the Tanakama and the Tosefta doesn't even allow you to use it for human food. Okay? Right? Now, you see that in the end of the day, what are they all arguing about? Right? Both sheets out here. Right? Right? So what you end up with, again, however you deal with the names, the way the Gra reads the Sugya is that the fundamental distinction is like the Rosh. Right? That's the insight of the Gra. Right? That basically, you read the entire Mishnah following the Rosh, which is eating is mutter, not eating is not mutter. And then, what do all these shitot argue about? What counts as eating? Mm-hmm. Right? And you have the highest standard, which is water is never food. Right? That's the shita and the braita, which is that water and salt are uniquely not considered food, even when you eat them. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the shita that whenever you eat something, even water, it is food. Then you have the shita that it's animal food is at a higher level, and therefore even that is. And then you have the most expansive shita, which is the Reb Yossi, which follows the Bavli of Shavu L'chol Nefesh, that any usage is equivalent to food. Yeah. Right? And then what the Havamina and the Maskana and the Yerushalmi is doing is figuring out who holds what in the Mishnah and the Braita, and then it right plays the game of plugging in all the names. Right? That's basically how the Gra reads the Sugya, is that right? The basic way to read the Mishnah is food versus not food, right? Then there is an outlying shita, which is not in the Mishnah, which is in the Braita, which is no. Water, even for food, isn't food, right? And every other shita, the Chachamim and Reb Yossi are figuring out, no, food works, but is it human food, animal food, or is all things shavu l'chol nefesh, does that raise it to the level of food, right? And that's basically what's being negotiated in the Yerushalmi, right? That's how the girl reads the sugya, okay?
There's two different versions of how you could read it.
Yes, there's the Havamina and the Maskana, right? Because the Havamina didn't distinguish between human and animal food, right? And the Maskana introduces the factor of human versus animal food.
The only difference?
Well, again, so what that comes out with, again, I'll read it for you one more time. According to the Havamina, the three shitot are that the Chachamim and the Braita who say that you can pay for all things, right? Even not food. Right, which is what the Rosh Shavilio understood being the position of the Bavli, of Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Right, so according to the Gra, that's the Shita Chachamim in the Braita. Okay, if you don't follow who name is, that's okay. The second Shita, again, in the Havamina, is Reb Yossi of the Braita, who says that you're allowed to pay for water for food, but nothing else. Right, meaning it's food versus not food, and drink, water counts as food. And Shita 3 is the Tanakama, the Tosefta, who says, no, even drinking water is not food. Right? That's the Havamina. Then the Maskana of the Gemara is, once they've introduced the factor of animal food, is no, these are the three shitot. The Chacham, the Braita, say that eating includes animal and human consumption, which again comes back to Chet Aleph, which is, once we say you're allowed to feed animals, right, does that mean it's at the level of human beings or not, right? We dealt with the Chet Aleph. Shita 2 is Reb Yossi says, no, Shkia is Adam, right? Because he says, no, level 1 is human, level 2 is animal. And the third Shita is that even human drinking water is not really food, and therefore you can't use Perishviat for that. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how the Gra understands it. Yes, exactly. Right? Because, right, this is all within the Rosh, that the distinction between the first and the second half of the Mishnah is achila, and therefore he reads both the Havamina and the Maskana as a major machloket of how do you define achila,
so where you get
the range of shita, which is either even human food, water doesn't count, right? Humans drinking water counts, but no one else. Animals or human beings drinking water counts as food and everything else is not food, or, right, the most Mekel Shita, which is essentially the Bavli, as understood by the Rosh Terilio, right, following Rabbi Yossi, right, in the Bavli, which is that Shavu L'chol Nefesh raises everything to food.
Wait, so why, right? How does the Rosh interpret? Because it says, like, Ma'pulikin B'shay Tashmishal, like, specifically about, like, the Tashmish of the thing, the usage.
Right, meaning using it for things that are not water versus water, right, for drinking, rather. That's how I understand it. That's talking about where you're not using it for drinking.
So, like, but it's still within the rest of realm of Achila when it says Tashmish.
Just well, no, that's exactly what it's saying. It's saying we're distinguishing between Stam Tashmish, which is not Achila, and Achila. Right? And then the rest of the Gemara tries to work out the details. Exactly, right? That's what the second day in the Gemara is saying, and one of the Shitot includes animal eating and eating. Right? Is that the Mishnah distinguishes eating and not eating? Right? And then you have the Shita that even eating, drinking water doesn't count as eating. Or humans eating counts. Or even animals eating counts. Right? In the Havamina...
Other uses of a human wouldn't be...
Correct. That's right? In the final assessment. Right, in the first assessment, yeah. One of the Shitot felt that it did because it was paralleling what we know in the Bavli of Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Right, and again, this comes down to the question, does the Yerushalmi accept the Shavu L'chol Nefesh category? Right, clearly, in the first read, the Yerushalmi does have some sort of read like that. In the second read, the Yerushalmi seems to reject that anyone ever held that.
Why is animal drinking like... Is that comparing it to human drinking?
Yeah. Well, either it's comparing it or it's saying it's a higher level, right? It's a mid-level, but it's enough for this. Exactly. Right, that's the question. That's what we dealt with in Chet Aleph. If you remember, that was only like a month and a half ago, right? Or a month ago. I don't know. We did Chet Aleph, right? Was, well, what is the status of Michael Behema? Right, that's exactly...
I know, but we were saying, like, I don't remember what we said at the end, but like, other human uses would maybe be higher than Michael Behema.
Yes, so right. Right, and here the Gemara is introducing the possibility that Michael Behema is above other human uses. Yes, exactly. Right? Okay. That is how the Gra understands it. I will now read you the Marafuldas. I will read you the Art Scroll summary of the Marafulda, okay? Right? Marafulda explains Rabbi Yossi as follows. Marafulda is a slightly different one. He says, although the Tanakhama of the Tosefta forbids using Shviat money to buy water, whereas our Mishnah permits it, the Mishnah can be reconciled with his opinion. For Kan le'adam, Kan le'behema. In the Mishnah, we are dealing with the purchase of drinking water for a human, whereas here in the Tosefta, we are dealing with the purchase of drinking water for an animal. Thus, the Tanakhama of the Tosefta permits spending Shviat money on water for humans, but forbids spending it on water for animals. As for Rabbi Yossi, who rules leniently in the Tosefta, he permits spending Shviat money even on water for animals. Rabbi Yossi concedes, however, that it's prohibited to spend it on water for general needs. The Mishnah, which permits spending it on drinking water, can thus be reconciled with all opinions of the Tosefta. According to the Tanakhama, we must say that it refers to water for humans, while according to Rabbi Yossi, we may say that it refers to water even for animals, right? Now, according to this, what is Marafulda's conclusion? That nobody believes that humans drinking water doesn't count as eating. Yeah. Right? That's the fundamental difference for him. It is of note that in Marafulda's text, the Gra above cites the Tanakhama of the Tosefta explicitly. Thus, when Rabbi Yosef mentions all opinions, he means to include the Tanakhama of the Tosefta, who was cited earlier. According to the Gra's reading, however, the Gemara never cited the Tanakhama of the Tosefta. This all opinions comes to include the opinion comes to include the Tanakhama of the first Braita. Now, again, the Rosh Terilio has yet a different read on this. The Sefer Nir has yet another read on this. So, yeah, let's see. We have like 2 minutes. So let's, if you want to quickly look at the Rosh Terilio. I don't want to continue. Tomorrow I want to start Chetvav, whatever we do.
Maybe you're getting a call. No, that's from the Philly.
Okay, 1 second. Hello.
Hello.
Ken.
I have to say hello because it might be an American.
Yes, I know.
Is that the way you respond?
Well, Israelis say hello sometimes.
So. Right. Okay, so very, very quickly, if you want to look at the Rosh Terilio, again, okay, just look at the bottom of the Rosh Terilio and Samachem and Olive. He says, nearly the Farish came. Came in the Gomer Afra of Yossi Mothe de Shari. Nearly the Meir of Yossi de Osir de Hainetan of Vire. Vahachi pe Rusho, ba mepligin, tre tanoi, ve lider of Yossi. Bimi, bimi tashmishan, da hainu le boilu le mishra, le bemu le tzviya. Right? So basically, according to him, his solution is that it's a machlogu within Rabbi Yossi. Right? And he says, why? The Tanim Avayar Sover Avag of the Maim Atman Be'en Inu Ksover Deve Hefsid. The Tanim Avayar Sover came into Be'en Inu Lo Eve Hefsid.
Oh, it's not focused as to what
Right. So according to him, he has a possibility that here's how it goes, that the machloket is basically whether when you're buying water, is that, and you're going to use it for laundry, is that considered being mafsided or not? Right? That one sheet that says, look, whenever you can use it for laundry, it becomes hefsid and therefore it becomes usser. Right? Because you're not allowed to destroy it. And other people say, no, if you're using it for a purpose, it's not considered hefsid. Right? So that's a totally different way of reading the sugya, that it's not about achila, it's about the definitions of hefsid, which is, can usage become hefsid, in which case it would be usser. Okay? That's another way of...
It's like achila, but its ultimate goal is that it's consumed. So...
Yeah, and then it go, and then he, right, fleshes this out through the sugya of right? Now again, all I'll say, and this is what I'll leave you on, is that what this comes down to, again, as he tells you very clearly on Samach Hayam and Bet, is, right, what is the most important thing for him to figure out the sugya? Is, does the Bavli accept Yerushalmi l'chol tzarcheichem? Right? Right, that's what it comes down to for him, is that if you accept the Bavli within interpretation of Yerushalmi, then things which are not achila are plausibly under the rubric of achila, because anything which is called tzarcheichem is achila, so it can't be hefsid.
Yeah.
But if the Rushalmi rejects that, then plausibly things which are actual human usage are still hefsid. Why? Because if you don't accept the kol tzarcheichem, you never expanded the definition of achila. Right? And again, for the Rosh really, as you saw already in the Mishnah, the million-dollar question in terms of how to understand the Rushalmi and whether it's plausible to say that things that are not achila are mutter or hefsid or not is, does the Rushalmi accept the Bavli? If you say no, then that's why, right? It'll say it's hefsid. If it does, then you have to read it in light of that. Okay? Those are a few reads and beginning of the reads of how to read this. I want to move on. So what we will do tomorrow is a very important sugya, which is Vav. But tomorrow? You have a teal tomorrow?
Yeah,
okay, I don't know what I'm not really sure what's going on tomorrow. Oh, no, tomorrow, I think, is an optional teal. I'm not really sure. It shouldn't have been. Okay. I'm just going to give it to you guys. Let